We have a rule in our room, don't touch the air conditioner, is what he's talking about. I don't know if you could hear him. But we were threatening him if he, like, touched the air. And we're lucky because some of these guys didn't even have air, they said, in their cabin last night. Did everybody have air in their cabin? No. Dude, ours was so cold, and we didn't even need coffee because our water doesn't get warm. So we have a cold room and cold showers. It's awesome. Good camp experience. What? Yeah. Isn't that great? Are we spoiled here, do you think, Fassel? That we can complain about shower heads. Where Fassel lives, like, the power's on sometimes. Sometimes it's not. Well, actually, he lives in Phoenix now, but he kind of lives in Pakistan, too. Yeah. So he goes back and forth, right? So anyway, look, guys, I am not going to teach a regular Bible lesson today. I'm going to tell you basically what made me want to come here and drive this far. Because when you hear my story, I'm a guy who... Actually, June 27th will be 10 years I got saved. But 10 years ago, if you told me I was about to drive a couple days ago 1,300 miles to do anything that people didn't pay me a bunch of money for or didn't give me drugs for, really, I would laugh at you. You know, if I was going to come here, there would have to be a lot of stuff I could have stolen, a lot of stuff I could benefit in a worldly sense, and I was pretty shady, and you'll hear that. But the thing I want you to listen for is how I was, how I am. The main thing is what happened in the middle, what's different, because you don't get without God. See, there's people in this room you're going to hear us talking about Jesus and teaching and using the Bible this week. If I would have ended up here, man, 10 years ago, I'd be like, well, how do I even know what the Bible is? I needed to see something. I was a guy who needed to see some proof. It's like Joe will ask me sometimes. Joe says, yeah, well, I understand what you're saying, but what does that look like? Joe's like me. He wants to figure stuff out. Guess what? You can't really figure this out. It's just real, you know? The only way you get to figure out is later. You don't get to make a deal with God and say, you know, okay, I'll do this if you do this. There's this whole thing called faith that comes in, and it just doesn't work that way. And it's hard for me to get that still because I sometimes want to put conditions on stuff. It's like a couple days ago, I didn't even think I was going to have the money to get here. And I was on the phone with Carrie and Fassel, and I was like, I'm just not going. I'm not going. I don't have enough. I can't make it. And Carrie gets on the phone with me like I'm a little kid. And she's like, this is what you're going to do. You're going to get in your car. You're going to trust Jesus, and you're going to go. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And I get off the phone, and I feel really bad because I know I am going to do it. But see, I'm 10 years saved. Why do I do that? Why do I still have to question? What I'm trying to get the point through to you guys is that I still have, you know, when I got off the phone with you, Carrie, what I said was, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Just like John the Baptist said. Because, man, I never always just get it. I never do. I would like to. I would like to get up here and sometimes be a subject matter expert and tell you that I know. But, man, it's like I learn every day. Especially in counseling, people are like, what'd you do with that guy? I'm like, I don't know, I just prayed and did what the Holy Spirit said. Everybody's so different. Guys, I don't know if everybody in this room is saved or not, but I just want you to listen to what it took for me to get saved. I'm getting weird and choked up. As soon as I started to pray over there, it was very weird. Man, I was in a place a couple days ago. I didn't think I was going to come. And if I look at this from the right viewpoint, I realize that means good stuff is going to happen. You know, anytime I don't want to do something or the enemy starts getting in the way and I don't have something simple like enough gas money, dude, that would be the dumbest thing ever if I didn't come here. You know? So what makes a guy like me drive 1,300 miles? That's what I'll tell you about. So I'm going to start... When I was a kid, I really didn't have my dad around. I grew up in a house with my mom who basically had an undiagnosed mental illness, okay, who did lots of crazy stuff to me, and I'm not even going to go into, but did stuff. It was abusive, but it didn't even make sense. So I lived in a house where the rules were changed every day. So my mom would beat me, and then like the next day, she would do it again, but she would always get me for something different. And after she beat me, she would always be like, I'm sorry, I'll never do that again. And I think she meant it. You know, she had some crazy issues. My dad wasn't there. They got a divorce. And if I forget to say this at the end of my story, the great thing is now both of my parents love Jesus. My dad is, his whole life's about ministry. That's so awesome. All he wants to do is go to church and do what God wants him to do. And, that's heavy. So, man, I usually don't get this emotional. I'm sorry about this, guys, but I'm really not, because it's just me. That's the way it is. So I grew up in a house where just a lot of bad stuff happened to me. And knowing the things I know now, until I got to a point where I could understand God, basically my mom was the only thing that was in control that I knew of. So that made me walk through life, and everybody I should trust are grown-ups. I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, okay, my mom loved me and look what she did to me. So what are these people going to do with me? My mom was a criminal. She was a very smart, you would say, a con lady. She didn't do a lot of regular crime. She did like white-collar crime. She did embezzlement and stuff like that. And one of the things I learned from my mom when I was young was just that I will go to any level to beat you. This is what my mom taught me without planning to teach me this way. I mean, my mom would say the worst stuff, and if I would say something back to her, she would always take it to another level. And I ended up being the kid who, hope I don't jump around too much. I really pray that I keep this in line and you guys can make some sense of this. Because I usually don't feel, my brain's not usually bouncing this much, but sometimes it does. And those of you who know me, yeah, you know that's true. Sometimes I talk really fast and think really fast, and the cool thing is God uses it. So, man, I grew up in this house with this mom. It was just crazy, guys. It was crazy. I have a sister who never suffered any punishment, really. And now, looking back, I realize it's because my mom grew up in a house where my grandfather abused all the boys, but not my mom. So my mom did the same thing to me. Because my sister, she'll be like, man, you say stuff about mom, and she doesn't remember. She's like, she wasn't that bad. And I'm like, what? She's not that bad? You didn't get held down and have your teeth brushed with Comet cleanser and crazy stuff done to you, you know? You have to go to school and you can, like, taste Ajax for 2 days because your mom's crazy. Okay, so this is how, you know, I grew up, and I was a kid in school. I didn't trust anybody. The only outlet I found was I got in sports, and I really like sports. And I think it was because I didn't like myself. And I found if I could, I didn't want to just be on a team and win. I wanted to like make somebody fall down. Like I was a small guy, so I played soccer. So I didn't want to score. I wanted to be the guy to go to the other end and take it away from the best guy on your team and then just kick it to my forward and let him score. I wanted to take something from you that you thought that you had because I was so empty inside and I was looking for something. And I would feel better for just a minute. If I could do that, if I could beat you in soccer, never played football or anything because I was so small. But I was just a guy who, man, the things I learned from my mom was we would go in public, I always had manners, and I would say yes, ma'am, and I would say yes, sir, because I found out you can get out of a lot of trouble that way. Okay, I was a kid that was always in the smart kid classes, which if you're smart in this room and you don't point it in the right direction and give it to God, it can almost be a curse. You can be like me. You can get into trouble. You get so far into it that you can't hardly get out of it. So I'm a guy I'm going through life. The only thing I like is sports. As soon as the sun comes up, I leave my house, and I'm not coming back to my house until my mom screams and calls for me because you just didn't want to be in there. My mom had this thing. She'd say she had a headache, and no matter what I did, she would get me. I could not get away from her. It was so weird. And I didn't realize that at the time. I just thought it was normal. And I would go spend the night with somebody else, some kid on my soccer team. And I always thought it was real. I figured their parents beat them after I left. Because it was so weird. Like if I'd spill something at somebody's house, I'd be like, I'm expecting them to just get me. And they wouldn't. And I'm like, oh, they're just acting like my mom is. The crazy thing about kids is you're so resilient. You just assume everybody's doing what you're doing. My brain just locked up. You'll hear me. I'm going to talk about doing drugs and stuff a lot later. If you do drugs, sometimes you just forget what you're talking about like I did. They made me kind of stupid. Made me do stupid stuff for sure. So, man, I'm trying to skip the childhood stuff much because it's just crazy stuff. You just take my word for it that it was crazy. When I was 15 years old, we'd gone to stay with my dad, and I didn't really know why. I didn't know my mom was going to court because she'd like embezzled a lot of money from where she worked, and she was going to court, and she wasn't telling us. So one day, my dad just called us in there and said, "Hey, kids, your mom has gone away." You know, and the weird thing is we were told to lie, and we would tell everybody on, because my mom, the thing is, she was manipulative and she was abusive, but in public, she looked normal. When you get older, you'll realize there's a lot of people like that, you know, who just act a certain way, and maybe they're not. I don't know. We definitely don't want to be that way as Christians. We want to be the same way all the time. We don't want to just come to church on Sunday or come to camp and, like, bring all your camp shirts and be cool and then go home for a year and do what you did for 51 weeks, you know. Man, I would have been the guy that would have done that, but I never made it to a camp. I definitely never made it to somewhere like Glen Haven, which I definitely needed. So anyway, my mom goes to prison when I'm 15, guys. And the thing about my mom, she micromanaged me so much, she was on top of us, controlling everything, that I couldn't get away with anything. So then I had to go live with my dad, who I didn't really know that much, but he was a workaholic. Okay, so all he did was work. So when I was 15, I get to where I can sneak out a lot. My dad, man, this dude, he just slept. He worked. He did what he was taught to do by his dad. And he didn't really show me any too much love or anything. I don't think till I got saved, the man never hugged me and told me he loved me or anything. He called me after he saw a movie called Courageous, though, and he was crying. And he said, "Dude, I'm sorry. I didn't do all this stuff for you." Dude, that was such an amazing thing that my dad called me and told me that. Anybody seen that movie, Courageous? It's really good. Man. So, when I'm with my dad, guys, he's not strict. I can get away with anything. And like I said, I'm the smart kid. I'm the kid it's like the only happiness I ever had, I felt like, was when I was playing sports and if I was winning. The bad thing about sports is I was on a team and every kid didn't kill himself and play as hard as I did. So I think when I was 14, I started wrestling because I figured out the kid on the team that wasn't crazy like me couldn't make me lose because I was not a nice loser. So when I was 15, the year that my mom went to prison, I was a state championship in wrestling guy. I weighed 97 pounds when I was 15. I was very small. I played on a men's semi-professional soccer team when I was 15, and I was like a crazy, amazing athlete. But when I was 15, I found this other thing that did for me what sports did, and it gave me that satisfaction, but only for a minute like sports did, and I didn't even have to exercise. All I did have to do was hang out with a bunch of people doing stupid stuff like me and smoking pot. That's what I started doing when I was 15. See, my mom wasn't there. I could get away with anything. My mom had done all these drugs and stuff. She would have never let me do it. It's kind of weird. She wouldn't let me do what she wanted to do. But so she's in prison. I'm with my dad. I start smoking pot. I'm in gifted classes in school within a year. I didn't play sports. I quit high school. Within a couple years, all I did was sell drugs, do drugs, play video games. That's what I did. Sold drugs, do drugs, hang out with people that do drugs. Do stupid stuff. I think I went to jail the first time when I was 18 and ended up having the same judge that my mom had. And he remembered my mom. He didn't like me. And dude, I went to jail for like 2 months the first time I ever saw a judge. And I thought it wasn't fair, blah, 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 whatever. I never even factored into it that I did what I did. See, I never had this part. I always had... But I learned from my mom, do what you want to do, and then lie and cheat and steal, and you can get out of it. And I was smart enough that I could get out of a lot of consequences. The problem is, when you're smart like I was, I'm not that smart anymore. That's a good thing. The more I don't know, I kind of figure out the the more it seems like I know. And I think I'm smart. I'm not teachable. If there's anything in my life I have to be now, guys, it's teachable. Luckily, I have a God who, He's always happy to be teaching me. You know, if I'm looking for it, I'm always taught. So when I'm 18, I go to jail the first time, you know, and I get out of jail. So obviously, you know, jail is bad and I'm through, right? Because I'm going to learn my lesson, because 2 months in jail, that's bad and that's not fun. And people are telling you what to do, you know, that's bad. Do you think I quit? Did I quit at that point? No. What I did was went and hung out with my friends and told jail stories. So then most of my friends hadn't been to jail, so I started moving toward other people who'd been in jail because they were the ones that wanted to go out and do the crazy stuff and rob and steal that I wanted to do. And all the guys I was in high school with, they, you know, weren't bad enough yet. I tried to drag some of the people into the stuff I was in, but they didn't want to, so I ended up hanging out with older guys, doing more drugs. And it's just, man, you know, I don't want to sound cliche and just sit here and tell you that drugs are bad, but man, if for me, either God is God or something else is. Okay? Until I run into Jesus Christ, soccer was God, wrestling was God, you know, being the kid who in the neighborhood always had to have stitches, I was always falling, getting cut up and stuff, because if you were going to ride your bike, I couldn't just ride my bike with Hamp. I had to, like, jump the car or something. And if Hamp would jump the car, then I had to jump the house, you know, because I was a kid who just, I wasn't happy in my skin. I had to outdo somebody. I had no idea what it was like to be comfortable in my skin. And I still don't to this day. I serve a God now who tells me I'm not really supposed to be that comfortable here, so it works out good. But I get up, and one of the only things I'm good at in my life is doing this and helping other people. It's really weird. It's like I call it a spiritual loophole. I can hardly help myself, but if I'm willing to help you, somehow I get help. But if I sit around and try to figure out how to help myself and sit in a cave, it never works. I have this saying, how spiritual can you be in a cave? I could sit there and memorize the Bible all I want until I deal with you other people and get to function and see how this stuff works and apply it or not. Because I'm a guy, like I said, I was smart, and I can take a Bible and I can completely get lost in a Bible in Greek and Hebrew, and I can nerd out on that, and I can sit there and tell you a bunch of cool stuff about the present active imperative, and I can teach you about Greek and stuff, and I can completely miss walking past the person who's in pain and needs my help if I'm not careful. So I'm not saying studying the Bible is bad. I'm saying if you're a guy like me, you have to be careful. You can get pulled into anything. We live in a world that's designed to get you to choose self and not God. That's how basic my life is. Every minute, every down to the second, I have a choice now. And I know I'm not saved yet in this story, so I'm jumping around, but I'm going to get saved. Trust me, I'll tell you about it in a minute. It'll make sense. So, man, drugs are just the biggest lie that I can think of, guys. And man, I loved it. I love drugs. I remember, let me just keep going here. I didn't quit. 18 years old, I didn't quit doing the drugs. I think I went to rehab the first time when I was 16. I skipped that one. And you know, when I went to rehab, that was 30 days. That should be enough. You get locked up with a bunch of people you don't know when you're 16. And that should teach you a lesson just like jail should have. But what did I do? I came home from rehab and I had this skill that I have now. If I'm not careful, I'll compare like the best thing in me to the worst thing in you. So I came home from rehab and I'm like, man, those kids are messed up in there, Dad. They were like shooting up and doing heroin and stuff. I just take acid and do cocaine and drink beer and stuff. So I'm not that bad. I don't shoot up yet. Yeah, that's what happened for me. There's always a yet that if I don't put that on there, I'll do it. There's a lot of things I haven't done. There's a few things I haven't done on the list of bad things people shouldn't do. And I'm convinced if I turn my back on God right now, I'd go out there and I would just do them. Man, this is the only hope I have, is to come to talk to you guys and to try to help somebody. Like I said, it's so weird. I get help when I try to help you. when I'm willing to get in my car and drive 1,300 miles and not know if I had enough money to get here, somehow I get helped. You know, that's one of the cool things about this Christian life. It's a paradox. Some of it doesn't make sense, but it does. It's really awesome. It's like addition by subtraction. It doesn't make sense logically, but it's a fact. I must decrease and he must increase. So, I've gone to rehab one time, and I'm 18, and I've gone to jail one time. Now I'm about to skip all the way to, I'm about 25 years old, and I'm the guy who everybody in here should be afraid of. But you know what? You probably weren't afraid of me, because you notice I don't have tattoos and stuff. The thing I learned from my mom, my hustle, is what we called it in prison, was I call it the white boy from the suburbs look. And this look works. I could come up to your door and knock on your door in the middle of the night and get you to open the door. Whereas all my friends had long hair, and stereotypically, at least in society, they might have looked shady. We could walk in a store and I could steal everything that they had while security's following my friends around because they looked suspicious. See, I learned these lies from my mom that if you look good, you are good. And man, it worked really well. And then I mixed it with being smart. I would sit around and I would read psychology books. And they'd send me to the psychiatrist and I would decide what diagnosis I wanted to have. And now I'm really messed up because I have stuff. I have a record of stuff. When I go to a doctor, I have to explain all this. And they're like, man, that doesn't really make sense. And I'm like, you're telling me. You know. But that's crazy. You know. So I would come home and I remember telling my friends Buck and Heather, I'd be like, man, I really fooled that doctor today. He believed this and this and this, but who did I really fool? I'm still dealing with it now. You know, I have a file that says I have this diagnosis and this diagnosis and this diagnosis, and I don't have any of them. You know? And so, that's crazy. It's just lies piled on top of lies. Man, I lied so much, guys, that I promise you I probably could have taken a lie detector test and passed it. That's the thing about lies. When you tell them so much, man, I believed them. And I mean, being a good con man, I figured if I didn't believe it, you wouldn't believe it. And if you didn't believe it, my theory was, give me 5 minutes and you will. Because man, I could talk fast and I was really smart. And then if I was needing some drugs, man, I could just come up with all kind of ideas. You know, because the bad thing about when you get doing drugs a lot, when you run out, your stomach hurts, you're in pain, man, it just does crazy stuff to you. You get physically dependent on the stuff that I was doing. So when I'm 25 years old, guys, by then, I've already, let's see, when I was 18, I'm going to jump back, I'm going to try to throw in a couple of things that are kind of crazy, just so you'll understand. When I was 18 or 19, I was at a heavy metal show at a concert, and they call it the pit up front. And I was in a pit, and I was on a lot of drugs. Somebody stage dived, and they landed on top of my head, and crunched my back, and I broke 2 vertebrae in my back. And I crawled out of there on my hands and my knees, and I couldn't even breathe. And the drugs kicked back in, and I got up, and I went back in there, and I got back into the pit. I got into a fight later that night with somebody with 2 vertebrae broken. I got on the stage at the end of the show and played the drums and fell off the back of the stage and landed on my head. So I don't know. That probably crunched my back, too. I woke up the next day, and I couldn't even move. My dad had to carry me. I woke up, and all I could do was scream for my dad. You know, that's just one story. I could tell you so many stories of why I shouldn't be walking, why I shouldn't be here, why I shouldn't be able to skateboard still, and I'm going to be 40 next month, and I skateboard all the time. And, man, it's awesome ministry for me. A lot of good, hard-headed skateboarders, just like I was. I love them. So, where I jumped away from is when I was 25, guys, I was the guy who understood the lies that you believe, that if a person's good, they are good. You know, I go to high schools and I tell people, you know, the devil, the enemy doesn't have like horns and an eye patch and he's like got a hunchback and he's like this. And he doesn't look like Igor on some movie or something. He looks like me. Okay? That's the thing. You young ladies, just because a guy's cute and he talks and he tells you what you want to hear? No. That's wrong. So you got to be careful. You see, there's boys in here smart like I was, and they figure out what they think you want to hear, and they just tell it to you. You know,
Because you need the same thing that Mark was talking about in these songs. You need the same thing I need, who everybody on this planet needs. It's the love. It's the love of Christ, whether you know it or not. And if you don't have it, you're going to find it somewhere. And this world counterfeits everything. Everything. And it's going to try to sell you the fake version of God. I mean, dude, there's churches out here who are telling you stuff, who call themselves Christians. Got nothing to do with Jesus, man. It's all about you got to do this and you got to do that. Look, if you had to be good and do something to be saved, guess who don't get to be here? Me. So, as I'm talking about this stuff, I want you guys to remember, you know, I'm not giving you a Bible study. I'm not getting really technical here. I want you to understand that this is not some crazy intellectual thing that you have to grasp. You know, this is just something that, are you aware that you have a need for this? Are you the person sitting in this room who doesn't really feel comfortable? Man, you're teenagers, so I know you naturally have a lot of that, period. But I still don't feel that comfortable all the time. Hey, Don. So, I'm 25, guys, and everywhere I go, I carry a bag with me that has a ski mask in it, and has a pistol in it, and has latex gloves. And, you know, at any time, I mean, I might be drunk, I might be high, I might be whatever, and just go out and decide to rob something. I mean, I was the worst guy that you could think of. I didn't care about what I did to myself. When I was 26, I had an argument with my mom, who is obviously, she's out of prison by then. And as bad as I hated her and I blamed everything on her, you know, when you do drugs, you don't want to pay rent. So I would stay with her and I'd leech off her. And so I'd stay in this sick pattern with her. We had an argument. I'd been shooting up a lot of drugs at this point. I'd been up for 2 or 3 days. I'd just done $1,000 worth of drugs in about 4 hours. And I needed some more. And my mom had this knack for catching me. When I was really feeling bad, and she would just put her thumb and just push my buttons in a way that only somebody really close to you can do. And I just said, you know what I'm going to do, Mom? I'm going to kill myself so you'll see. So you'll have to watch me in a grave and you'll know that you had something to do. And this is just how sick and twisted we are. And this made perfect sense to me. So if you step outside of this and you look at it, you're like, okay, you're dealing with a guy who's going to kill himself to win an argument. Is that really logical? Not really. But it made sense to me. And so my mom went upstairs and said, you know, she basically said, you're a coward and I don't believe you'll do it. You know, she basically dared me to do it. And I wasn't one of these guys who was going to like take some Tylenol PM and like, I want some attention here. I was the one who I heard this door slam, and I didn't know at the time that she only let the dog out, that she didn't really leave. So I took out a fillet knife, and I sharpened it up for about 10 minutes, and I got it razor sharp, and I cut this arm down to the bone. Guys, my hand doesn't even open anymore, because when I was supposed to go to therapy, I was shooting dope, you know, because I was me. I was the smart kid. That stuff didn't apply to me. We have some guys like that in here. You don't even know it yet, but I can see you from a mile away. You're almost too smart for your own good. And you're the one I'm here for. Love you. So I mean, I'm sitting in a basement and I've cut 6 tendons and both nerves down to the bone and I'm laughing. Okay? I think my mom's gone, and this is really what I thought when I did that. I cut it and I thought, oh, finally this is over, because I hated this. I hated life. I hated being in my skin. You know, I never felt comfortable. I wanted to be out of here. And I know that's grotesque and it's morbid, but we don't have the younger kids in here. And you guys need to hear this. I'm not one of these grown-ups that says, maybe you shouldn't tell them that. That's a little graphic. Look, man, you guys tell each other stuff that'd make some of these grown-ups in here probably turn blue in the face and pass out if they heard the stuff you're talking about. I'm not dumb. I know this, okay? So that's not really a big surprise to hear somebody did something like that. So you got a guy who's going to kill himself to win an argument, and I was laughing. I thought it was over, and I was laughing. My mom said it sounded like some monster on The Exorcist or something, and I don't really remember that. I just remember, and this is pretty crazy, but it was really like some movie, and blood was just pumping out of my arm, and I was sitting in a pool of my own blood, and it was coagulating quickly. It was turning into like jelly, and I'm just sitting there, and I was like, and I just, everything went black. So then, I don't know how long, how much later, I woke up and there was a light like that, a white light, and I woke up and I was like, and I wasn't really coherent, and I was on a lot of drugs, and I was in the hospital, and I was like, I just saw a white light, and I was like, hold on, this ain't real, and because it's just, what? This place, for one, this ain't real, and for two, I'm not supposed to be here. What am I doing here? You know? And then I woke up, and I realized I was in the hospital and alive, and how do you think I felt? I was mad. I was like, you know what? I'm so smart, I can't even kill myself right. I was in the hospital, and I was alive, and I was mad because I was alive. That's crazy. You know, what I didn't tell you through here, and I haven't harped on it a bunch, is I was a guy who studied Christians, and I could come up with some of the best arguments logically that you would think of why this couldn't be real, why I couldn't do this, but the thing I could never explain to that guy now, and when I run into him now, I could just say, look, dude, you can think all you want, you can try to figure it out, but if you can tell me how a drug, a shooting junkie who would steal everything you had and cut your throat would drive 1,300 miles to talk about Jesus, if you can explain that away all you want. But see, you have to take people like that to experience. Experience is one thing you cannot lie. You know, you cannot lie, you can't fake it, you can't logic, you can't reason, because my experience doesn't make sense. You know, it just doesn't. Is anybody sleepy in here? Topher went to sleep when I was telling my story at the ranch. That was you, wasn't it? Yes, it was. You sure it wasn't you? I think it was you. Somebody went to sleep. I remember it was a small guy. Yeah, it wasn't Brian. See, you don't have all the answers to this lesson, do you? I told him, I said, look, I'm telling a story today, and I bet you don't get to have all the answers to this one, because he had all the answers last night. Anyway, so guys, I'm 25, and I'm this guy, I'm basically an animal. You know, I'm a person who they make prisons for. Prison is made for a guy like I was. Now, I would tell you how that was bad. It's funny how after I went to prison, I got saved, I was a really liberal guy. Now I'm really conservative. I really love judges who make guys like me go away. You know why? Because I have a wife that's awesome, and I have friends like you guys, and you need to be protected from guys like I was. But I wouldn't have told you that before. I'd be like, you know, well, the truth is different for you than it is for me. You know, the truth is subjective. Yeah, that's garbage. Guys, the truth is the truth. John 14:6, Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through Him. There's no way you can sugarcoat that. I'm sorry. Yes, this is an exclusive thing. I hate to hurt your feelings if you're not into that, but that's the only way. That's the only way out of this. That's the only way you're going to find this love. That's the only way you're going to get this thing that you're really looking for. And there is no substitute. There are many lies. There are many counterfeits. There are many fake answers for God. But nothing works. Nothing lasts. All that stuff lasts for a minute. You know what this world's trying to do right now? It's technology or it's stuff. When you get to be my age, it's like you got to have this many houses and this many cars. And really what it is you get tricked into getting into a bunch of debt and stuff, and you're just getting sucked into this world system, and you got so much debt you can't afford to just say, you know what, I think I am just not going to work or anything this week, and I am going to drive to a camp, and then I'm going to one in Alabama with Carrie and Fassel, and then we're going to one in Arkansas again later this year. And it's only God that does that. It's only God that makes a guy like me do this. You know, when I was 27, guys, I went to prison, and but yeah, when I went to prison, I've been convicted of 7 felonies, okay? When I went to prison, the first time I went to prison, which really they almost should be 1, and you'll hear that in a second, because I was only out for 2 whole weeks the first time. That's how good and smart I was. See, the thing is, I'd tell you how smart I was the whole time and how stupid this God was, but it's funny, these people into this God and stuff, they don't have to go to prison and do all the stuff I did. They don't have to sit in a visitation room like my dad. My dad looked at me one time and he said, son, why can't you just quit doing drugs? And I just as clear as day, I remember telling my dad that if there was a pile of cocaine in the middle of this room and somebody told me if I would kill everybody in the room, I could have it. I looked my dad in the eye and I said, I would kill you first. And I would try to kill you fast because I do love you, but I would kill you and I'd step over your body and I'd kill everybody in this room because I needed that stuff. You know, and that's scary and that's weird, but the thing is, I need God that much. You know, you need God that much, whether you know it or not. It's just, if you don't have it, you know, even if you're saved, I'm not talking about just getting saved. I'm talking about what's it going to take for you to depend on God. Because whatever it is that you need to hurt, whatever pain you need to feel, it's free. Misery's free out there. You can have all you can stand. They don't charge you for that. The world sells you a bunch of stuff that makes you pay for, but they don't really tell you about all the misery that comes with it. So conversely, the big lie the world doesn't want you, or the big lie the world tells you is all the good stuff costs money. The better it is, the more it costs. So these guys are going to come to this camp and tell you about this gift Mark talked about. It's the best thing ever and it's free. Now, if you're worldly thinking, you're like, that's stupid. You know, how can the best thing be free when we know the good stuff, like iPhones are the most expensive phones? So this guy, that's like saying the cheapest phone would be the best. Look, this ain't cheap, guys. It's cheap for us. It wasn't cheap for Jesus. You know, and you'll hear that over this week. I'm not trying to go into get technical. I really want you guys to relate and hear my story and understand just how crazy it is, how different it is than it used to be. Because it just doesn't make sense logically that I'm here. I'm not supposed to be here, according to this world. I did everything wrong. Man, I just got married in October to the most awesome woman. And that's only because of God. People are like, man, some people are like, man, how did you do that? How did that happen? I'm like, the only way I can tell you is when I got saved, I made this crazy promise. And I said, God, I don't know what in the world you could possibly do with me, but you can do anything you want with me. Because I went extreme. I went from way over here and I said, okay, I'm just going to go way over here and go really fast this way. And I'm in it. And I've done things that don't logically make sense. I do things like when I get money, instead of thinking about something cool to buy, I do crazy stuff like looking for somebody to give it to or looking for somebody to help out. And it's really funny. And my wife's really good with money. She's like, hold on, we might need that. And the funny thing is when I give people money, I end up getting more. It's kind of like what I was saying about this weird rule. When I help people, I end up getting helped. But if I try to hoard the money, just like if I try to hoard the spiritual life, I don't get more of it. It's like, oh, I got some grace. I'm going to keep it and I'm going to get some more. It's really weird. I don't think you can really get grace the way I've gotten it. And withhold it from someone else. You know? Man, if you've got what I got, you can't help it. You want to give it away. You want to tell. It's so weird. I used to be greedy. You know, and now anything I have that's cool, I don't care if it's like headphones or I get a new skateboard or whatever. I'm like, hey, man, dude, you got to put these headphones on. You gotta ride the skateboard. It's like anything that's fun, I want to share it with people now. And that's so weird because I wasn't taught that way. I was taught, get yours. You got to get yours and they got to get theirs. And that's what this world teaches you. You know, if somebody's down, oh, they want to be down. You know, that's just their choice. Just leave them alone. No, man. There's people that are down like me who might even think they're in a good place, who are down in the bottom of a hole and they're trying to lie to you and they're so confused like I was. And they're like, oh, I'm not in a hole. I'm in a ride at Disneyland. This is fun to be down here in the bottom of this gutter swimming around in sewage. This is actually an Olympic pool and it's heated and this is so fun. No, dude, I'm swimming in sewage. I'm believing lies that I've told myself. But that's how deep it gets. You know, I believe a lie. The next lie is a little bit easier to believe. And if you're not careful and you're like me, to this day, right now, 10 years being saved, if I'm not careful, the next thing I know, I make a couple wrong choices. And I don't end up in the cop car like this anymore. That's what used to happen. And I'd be like, how did I get here? But that's what happens to me now to this day if I don't lean on Christ and I don't do it like I should. Man, if I'm aware of anything, it's that I just don't do this right. I never seem to get it. I hope I don't get it. Because when I think I get something, I relax and I chill and I get in trouble. So, guys, I go to prison. I think I got like 10 more minutes. I need to hurry up because we got to hear the good part where I get saved, right? So we've heard the bad stuff. So just take my word for it. I did a lot of crazy stuff. And I still do crazy stuff, only now it's just not felonies. Now it's like go too fast on a four-wheeler or fall on a skateboard and have people say, aren't you too old for that? I'm like, I don't know, maybe.
Thing is, I have credibility with kids that the guy that would say that to me, kids won't listen to him. So, man, I just believe God uses whatever I give him. The cool thing is, I have a guy like Gene back here who's an awesome teacher, but you know what? God loves me enough, and he says, you don't have to be like Don. You don't have to be like Gene. You just have to be you. You don't have to be like me. You know, you don't have to learn how to do all the video stuff like Jason, because you know what I do on computers? I blow them up. I mess them up, and I want to drop test them, is what I want to do with them. I want to stomp them because they don't do what I want them to. And then I get mad, and then somebody comes in there, and they're like, you just need to do this. I'm like, really? I spent 4 hours trying to, and I just made it worse. Anyway, we'll get off that. So, guys, I need your help in this thing. We're all on the same team here. I need some of you guys who are saved, who maybe aren't taking this serious, I need you to get off the bench and play. Because all you did to get put on the bench, Jesus did the work to get you on the bench. You did nothing. Man, I want you guys to get fired up and be like me and say, you know what? I might play wrong. I might fall down. I might get dirty. But guys like me, man, I can't stand sitting on the bench. I got to get up and I got to do something. I got to do something. The bench is boring. Get up and play, man. Get up and help me. Because there's something you can do, Alex, that I can never do. There's something Connor can do that I can never do. And you take the Holy Spirit and mix it with your personality and your experience and everything about you up to this point, and there's something you can do that I could never do. That's so awesome. I don't have to be like the preacher guy on TV. And a lot of them, be careful. I thought you don't want to be like them anyway. So I'm not trying to be funny, but yeah, if the first thing they tell you is they want to sell you a prayer cloth and you know they know somebody's got 1,000 and send it to me, just be careful. Be careful what you watch on the History Channel, too, that's telling you about the Bible. These lost books of the Bible, go ahead and change it. Go ahead and change it right there. They're telling you something crazy. So, I'm in prison. I make it to this work release in prison, okay? I go from, like, the big prison where I think about 3 years I was locked up the first time. Do I jump around a lot? You guys following me? Are you with me? See, you guys are so overstimulated by technology that you're able to follow me. I think maybe I am too, and that's why I jump around, but you're with me, right? Are you with me? You with me, Topher? Yes, sir. I like that, Chris. So, I make it to, somehow I'm selling drugs in prison. I'm doing drugs. And the cool thing about prison, cool, did I just say that? The cool thing about it to me at this point was I finally met a bunch of people that were animals like I was. I met people who I've basically seen someone lay there and bleed to death over like an oatmeal cream pie or over a bag of coffee or something. You're talking about a world. See, that's the part that the enemy doesn't tell you when you're doing these drugs and stuff. He doesn't show you the back end of this thing. Where you're sitting in a room with a bunch of dummies like I was, telling you, oh, this is cool, man, and, you know, this grows from the earth and whatever and a bunch of crap. Well, what they don't tell you is you're going to end up in a room somewhere and there's going to be 12 people and they aren't going to be the people like you were sitting there doing drugs with. It's going to be school teachers and police officers and all these people, and they're going to vote on what happens to your future. And if you're like me and you make a bunch of bad choices, you end up somewhere, like I was saying, and there's a guy on a raised platform and he's wearing a robe. And you got this guy beside you called your attorney, and they're talking about your future, but guess what? They're not asking you for any input. Your choices are over. And when you start to talk, your attorney says, don't say anything, I got this. You know, that's not a fun place to be. We live in a country where you have a lot of choices, but if you make the wrong choices, we're going to take them away from you in levels. The more wrong choices you make, the more we're going to take, even up to a point where your life can be taken. Okay? Because if you're making decisions that say you're more important than the rest of us, we got to let you know, guess what? You're not. That's what Monty was saying last night. He was saying, we love you, but if you make me make a choice from the guy that clearly wants to learn about the Bible and the guy that clearly doesn't, you're not ready yet. I can't make you get there because God's given us this awesome thing, which is so tricky and difficult, called free will. He loves us. We're made in His image. A lot of people can't figure that out. If they want to ask you why do bad things happen, that's the answer. Free will. He loves us enough to let us mess up. He doesn't lock us in a cage. You know, He lets us mess up. And people like me,
Man, the more we mess up, the more we learn. Ooh, we make some phenomenal mistakes. So, I'm in this work release, guys. I meet this guy who tells me God sent me to him. Okay, and I'm like, okay, this guy's a little crazy. Because God definitely doesn't exist, and he's stupid. But I saw a lot of stuff I could steal from his business. So I stayed there, and I worked there. And I just loved it. I manipulated the guy. The guy was very wealthy. He was very politically connected in Alabama. And he told me one day he was going to go talk to my judge and get me out of prison early because he didn't like me having to ride the van back to the prison every day. And he wanted me to be able to work late. And I'm like, okay, you just go ahead and do that. Just go ahead and get me out. That'd be great. Yeah, that don't happen. He did it. The van came Monday and they said, okay, get your stuff. You're free. You're no longer a ward of the state of Alabama. So I'm out of prison. So man, and this guy said, God sent me there. So I've learned my lesson, right? And I won't do anything bad anymore. Is that right? Does that sound like it's going to line up with my story? No. I was out of prison 2 weeks. I went and I did a bunch of drugs. I was just driving in my car, went to some projects. It like went on autopilot. And I went in projects and did drugs for a whole weekend. I went to this guy's business and I robbed him. And I robbed the business and I emptied the safe. And you know what the guy did? He came and he talked to me. And he told me I was going to have to turn myself in, but he didn't call the cops or anything. What this guy did was he went upstairs and he talked to my judge. He came down. And he said, you know what? The judge is so mad. You're the first person he's ever let out early. He's so mad. But he's gone to recess. He said, you just do what you want. I'm leaving. He left me sitting outside the court. And that voice I've always listened to, which is my flesh, that said, you know what? You're smarter than police and judges and all those people are stupid. And they just don't get it because they're not exceptional like you. And they can't do complex math in their head like you can. And they didn't go to the smart kid school. And they weren't supposed to go to MIT like you were and all this stuff. All these lies, this tape that lies to me, that runs through my head if I'm not careful to this day, that says rules don't apply to me and I need to factor them. I need to filter it and see how does this really mean it affects Jamie because I'm different than the rest of you. No, I'm just a dude. So I finally told that voice for the first time in my life to shut up. You know, what I didn't tell you was the night before they had a bunch of guys from a Baptist church, the deacons in the church praying with me and talking to me about Jesus. And I was like, oh yeah, I believe that crap, whatever. Yeah, I believe that. Just I want to go to sleep. Leave me alone. Well, I don't know what they said or what they did. But I sat there outside that court, and the voice that's telling me to run and get away, I didn't listen to it. I went and I turned myself in. I got saved, basically, sitting outside of a county jail in Birmingham, Alabama, waiting for a recess to be over. And it was like I floated into that courthouse, and I couldn't stop myself. And that voice is like, are you stupid? You're turning yourself in. You're going back in there where these people are doing crazy stuff, and they're killing each other for a honey bun, and all this crazy stuff's happening. And I just told it to shut up. You know, that's a huge skill. I could give you a technical explanation, but basically, you got to learn to tell that voice in your head to shut up sometimes. That's a lie. I don't believe it. I'm claiming the truth. The Bible says this, and I believe it. That's so hard to do. If I could just teach you that one thing, you'd be doing a lot better. But, man, I can't even teach myself that. So, I got saved, guys. I go back to prison. Had the best year of my life. I'm in prison. All of a sudden, prison looks completely different. I'm like, man, these people are weird. They're doing crazy stuff to each other. They're killing each other. They're doing all the things that you see on TV that people do in prison. Somehow, I don't know how I didn't get killed in there. Because I was really crazy. So I got saved, guys. I go back to prison for a year, and I get out of prison for a year, and they test my IQ, and they say, we want to send you to college, the state does, and we want you to get a degree and stuff. And I was like, I want to do ministry right now. I don't have time to go to school. I don't want to do any of that. And in hindsight, maybe I should have gone to school, but the cool thing is God has used me exactly the way I am, and he continues to use me. It doesn't make sense that people like Monty and Cheryl would call a guy like me and want me to be here. If you look at me on paper, I look horrible. When I went to the ranch for a year and a half, the state of Arkansas, the state board had to call me in there twice and looked at me on paper and they're like, this is crazy. They're like, this is like too good to be true. I'm like, you're telling me it's called grace. And it doesn't make any sense. You okay, Warren?
That's my brother Warren there. My other brother Warren. So, man, you know, I've run out of time because I talked too much. I got saved, guys. The main thing is I wanted to tell you all the bad stuff so you could know. So maybe I hit on something somebody in here can identify with. You can come to me and talk to me later in the week. Because the biggest lie that I believed the whole time, that I was like the Lone Ranger, that this only happened to me, and this is a thing the devil's going to tell you. I don't care if it's just that you, whatever, that you lied to somebody, that you took something that wasn't yours. What the enemy's going to do, it's going to try to get you to keep that a secret and to hide it. And you'll find when you tell on yourself that somebody else goes, man, you know, I thought I was the only one, but he did it too. And then you relate to each other, and then you get to mix some truth in there, and the truth always rises to the top. But if you keep that stuff hidden, guys, it's going to stay hidden. God, and the enemy's just going to pound it, and he's relentless, and he's really good. He's perfected. I mean, guys, we're fighting something that's so smart, and the enemy in this world system that's there that tells us it's not there. That's how smart the thing is. Oh, we're not even really here. God's not even really real. Those people are just crazy. Look, dude, this is real. There's no other explanation that I would drive across the country to be here other than God. That's all I can tell you. I don't really know where to stop here. It's like I've kind of run out of things to say, and it's probably good because I'm out of time. Does anybody have a question for me real quick? No? Does anybody want to help me pray us out of here? Come on up here. You going to pray good? It's going to be a good one? Awesome. See, he already knows all the answers to the Bible study.
Yeah.
So, you go first, I'll go second.
Okay. Thank you, dear Lord, for this wonderful day, and thank you for letting us be here. Just so let the rest of the week be a fun week, and just let's learn more about you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for everyone here. You know, man, I just pray if there's somebody, whatever the thing is that somebody needs to talk about, they need to get off their chest, they need to open up that they can find someone today that they can understand that there are other broken people here and that we're all broken, and never to believe the lie that, you know, don't tell that because nobody will understand. Nobody will understand. And just help us, Lord. Give all the counselors strength and wisdom. Give us the good judgment to lean on you and not ourselves this week. I pray that everyone can be safe today and that it can stay cold in my cabin. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.